The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Avra Lewis from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence and Ebony magazines. Our first article today is A Different Kind of Love, Beyond Black and White. Enter Michael Jenkins. He was eye candy and had a sense of humor, and he met her 5'9" height requirement, but after the first date, Lyles had doubts. Her concern had nothing to do with Jenkins being a white guy from Washington, D.C.'s affluent Alexandria suburb. "He's really into the science and space," explains the 32-year-old digital consultant and Houston native. "It just wasn't my interest." She still gave Jenkins, 34, a chance. As the relationship began to pick up, "I was like, hey, I'm learning all these cool new things," she adds. Although Lyles and Jenkins had dated interracially before, there was a learning curve, especially from him. "Being white, I often don't realize the racism that's going on around us because I'm rarely the target of it," admits Jenkins, who's in medical sales. "Allie has had to point it out to me, and it's a big aha moment. Fortunately, Houston, where the couple lives, is progressive and diverse, but racism sometimes rears its ugly head in neighboring cities." But the two don't shy away from discussing microaggressions. "He understands my viewpoints and he sympathizes," says Lyles, who is black and Mexican. Reflecting on their different cultural experiences is an ongoing dynamic as they talk about marriage and children. The only way to open people's eyes in 2019 is to let them know that we're still here," says Lyles. Michael's become more open to that because he sees no other choice. Across the political aisle, Tracy Green and Claude Bolton don't argue about money, but it's open season when it comes to politics. They prefer to think of their discussions as passionate debates, the kind that liven up Thanksgiving dinner conversations. Green, 48, is a Democrat, and her husband, Bolton, 50, is a Republican. Bolton often votes Democrat but holds an unwavering belief that more blacks should ride with the GOP. "If you investigate what Republicans stand for, often you'll find you agree with the same principles," he says. "Green isn't sipping the Kool-Aid. I watch all the channels," she says. "I watch Fox. I watch CNN. I try to get the whole picture. I'm not naive, but I have yet to see Republican views that answer the needs in our community." The Brooklyn-based parents who met in college have enough energy and jokes to go back and forth as a ball does in a tennis match. Their debates are never mean-spirited or toxic. Making an effort to see the other's perspective is huge. Thankfully, it's not difficult for these two, who are aligned on just about everything. Green believes their happiness boils down to the simple fact that they accept each other. He's the cool cucumber and she's the hot sauce. Their 23-year marriage wouldn't work as well if they were built the same way. "As I got older and saw relationships evolve, I realized the reason many people get divorced, besides adultery and money, is that they don't accept their partner for who he or she is," says Green, a finance executive. "I accept that he's a Republican, Booten adds that knowing how to communicate with his spouse is also key. Tracy is very forthright, so I have to listen and be dynamic, says the Haitian-born professor of social work. She's like Missouri, the show me the state. You can't tell her 2 + 2 = 4. You have to bring the 4 props. These articles are from Essence. Inside Interfaith Union. Hindus and Muslims are often at odds with each other, says Devi Dasi, who was initiated into a Hare Krishna, a branch of Hinduism, at 20 years old. But religion has never been a real challenge for us. Dasi's husband, Tariq Salim Sayyad, is an Orthodox Muslim who follows Quranic Islam and was once a member of the Nation of Islam. The two who moved in the same spiritual circles in their native Cleveland long before getting together have always had a universal approach to faith. Many of their friends are Christians, Muslims, Jews, and Baha'is. While the other folks may bicker about which God deserves all the praise, Dasi and Sayyad choose to celebrate their differences and pray together rather than criticize. When Sayyad observes Ramadan at her study class, when Sayyad observes Ramadan, Dasi fasts too, and he joins her at her study class. Their openness to each other's spirituality and religion has been a blessing to their union and the foundation of their international couples' skill building ministry. They both enjoy walking, gardening, and watching documentaries, but the opportunity to work together through their Dasi Sayyad Family Institute has been the real gift. The couple, now transplanted to Chapel Hill, North Carolina, are certified family life educators specializing in conflict resolution, finances, child rearing, and faith counseling. They walk the walk and talk it too, so that others, including their 19 children, 3 of whom they had together, can follow suit. He already had 9 children, and she had 7 when they decided to marry. For Sayyad, 79, friendship, commitment, respect, and a mutual desire to see our families do better is the super glue that keeps their bond tight. His wife of 27 years agrees. Love means service, says Dasi, 67. Love is unconditional. It means being willing to sacrifice for those you love and who love you. Smart and witty, as ever. For National Poetry Month, we spotlight slam poet Portia Olaiwala, Boston's poet laureate. Portia Olaiwala had just finished reading at a college in Massachusetts. A man with a long blonde ponytail told her, "Don't be offended when I tell you this, but you remind me of Biggie Smalls." After processing her feelings, the award-winning poet, who identifies as a queer hip-hop feminist, wrote a choreo poem called "Black and Ugly as Ever," alluding to the Notorious B.I.G.'s lyrics. The audience's response whenever she performs the choreo poem has been overwhelming. Of her innovative poetry, she says, whether through magic or fantasy or everyday real life experience, it's important to visualize yourself living, surviving, and thriving in a space that was inherently built for your success. Here is an excerpt from Black and Ugly as Ever, is her take of the infamous scene in How to Get Away with Murder, in which Viola Davis comes undone. Ode to the scene in which Viola Davis removes her wig to confront her white husband. The husband is a metaphor, I think, for America. America is cheating on Viola Davis, and she finds out because black girlhood is always in the know. In the fourth episode of How to Get Away with Murder, Viola confronts America for thieving her love and gifting it to a white woman. This is a metaphor in the literal truth. She tosses the diamond onto a tray, pulls her wig from her nape, and places the dead on her mantle. Viola runs both palms along her braids, matted to her scalp from the weight of cloaking. She peels up her lashes, left lid first, uses the wet of her weeps to remove the shadow, the lipstick, the foundation. She unearths herself on national television, turns to America with snot trailing the path of her nostril, and asks about the infidelity and the slaughter. Praise this moment in time in which I am alive, to which I am so grateful to behold, to be chosen to be living and witnessing at the same moments in which Viola Davis breathes and defies. I praise the ebony skin and nappy hair unclaved, even if it is only 92 seconds. My God, how I get to bask in the glowing dark of her universe. Praise the rounded lids and brown lip. Praise the owls of mucus strolling down silked bark. Praise Viola, how she told the producers she would unveil, she would lay the departed, how if she'd signed the contract, it would be as herself. To be yourself, to be a dark woman in coils plaited, is set fire to the house, is to sour the porridge. To be yourself is to jeopardize the views, is to cast as Annalise Keaton and show as Viola Davis. I walk around like the Viola from that scene, defacing America, working to unroot all he fed, looking like all he tried to throw away. There is a woman I love each night she lies with me. She removes her wig, rub the color from her lips, and I tell her she is beautiful. I tell her she is a chest murmur. She is reason enough. When we are sad because of what our hearts cannot hold, we hold each other. Praise God for keeping my lover and I inside love. Homage to us for us. How we can be flesh, bear only adorned in each other. I choose her each time because the world would not love woman who look like the woman I love, who look like me or my mama or Viola. Praise Viola for loving herself, ugly. Praise the muck in the dark. Praise the sorrowed, soiled woman as Emmy worthy. It is glorious to watch our defeat and to have people tune into the following episode for the rise. Black Girl Rising from Essence. It's always interesting to ask a creative person where she feels most at home. With British actress Michaela Cole, the talent behind the sitcom Chewing Gum, and most recently the series Black Earth Rising, both available on Netflix, the answer might surprise you. Cole was born and raised in London and spent time in 2017 in her parents' native Ghana while filming Black Earth Rising, which explores the effects of Rwandan genocide. Yet neither England nor the West African nation inspired a sense of belonging in Cole. Instead, she found her people in Brooklyn in 2015. She had crossed an ocean to attend the Afropunk Music Festival. If you've never been, imagine a gathering of impossibly beautiful and expressively attired black folks in all their natural hair, shaved head, tattooed in pierced glory. It's as if Erykah Badu, Solange Knowles, and Zoe Kravitz had a party and invited all their friends. There was art everywhere, Cole recalls, and so many black people. It was the first time I ever It was the first time I was ever in the majority. I felt accepted. I arrived with my weave, but after a few hours, I was like, I may not need this here. It was the most beautiful feeling, like I was being reborn. Cole's appreciation of American blackness began long before her first visit. Growing up, I watched Moesha, Girlfriends, Kenan and Kale, she says. I couldn't find images of myself anywhere else. Black people weren't in adverts or on billboards in England. We're still not. America has a very different relationship to blackness. There is love for what black people look like. These days, Cole, 31, wears her hair low with no earrings and little makeup. She is striking in her natural beauty. On camera, she is equally bold as she depicts the extravagant awkwardness of Tracy Gordon, the inexperienced and sex-obsessed protagonist of Chewing Gum. Cole, who began her career as Christian poet, wrote every episode of the series herself, earning a BFTA award for her performance and her high praise from critics, with Vanity Fair hailing the show as a rare burst of joy. Warm and disarmingly candid in person, Cole speaks openly of a harrowing sexual assault as she endured while filming the first season of Chewing Gum and of the ugly racism she encountered as a child in London, where she was chased through the streets and called the N-word. When asked about viewers' reaction to her work, she offhandedly offers yet another disturbing detail. Some people thought I was too ugly to be on TV, she says. There were people who said, I couldn't watch because of your face. These things hurt, and sometimes they can swallow all your positivity. I'm overjoyed when people connect with my work, but I've learned to not be too dependent on other people's opinions. Cole's self-protective stance may be rooted in pain, but it's also allowed the star a measure of freedom. In 2018, for instance, she played a dating single mother in the British feature film Been So Long. We've rarely had a romantic film with a dark-skinned black woman as the lead, she notes. There were numerous discussions about how to fashion her character's hair. Cole so vehemently objected to the implication that attractiveness and femininity could be conveyed through a wig that, as a rebellion, she shaved off her hair. I don't wait for permission, she says with a laugh. I just did it. With that act of defiance, Cole immediately infused her character with confidence, style, and sensuality. Perhaps she was remembering the spirit of Afropunk and the afternoon when she found a reflection of herself among sisters, revealing their authentic beauty. Cole had traveled thousands of miles from the place of her birth to bask in the welcome of home. Finding your roots. DNA testing is on the rise as more African Americans use it to trace their ancestry back to motherland. What you need to know. When Victoria Walker bought a DNA testing kit in December 2017, it was to join her family in finding out more about their ancestry. Growing up with a great aunt who had been the family historian for decades, Walker, a Washington, D.C. attorney, already knew a few details about her mother's side. She knew, for example, that her mother's family hailed from Louisiana, but beyond that, the geography was sketchy. I probably knew no more or less than other people from the South, says Walker. The DNA test added another level to our history, one that my great aunt in particular was curious to find. She definitely encouraged us to take that test. Walker, who used a kit from Ancestry DNA, is among hundreds of thousands of African Americans who have turned to technical advances in personal DNA testing to uncover a critical piece of heritage lost through centuries of forced migration and slavery. As people of African descent in the diaspora, particularly in the Americas and the Caribbean, we are the original victims of identity theft, says Gina Page, co-founder of African Ancestry, which has helped more than 500,000 people trace their roots to specific countries and even ethnic groups of the African continent. We lost our names, we lost our languages, we lost the freedom to honor our ancestors, and our families were torn apart. Page and other experts point out that not all DNA testing kits are the same, nor can they all cater to the particular needs of our community. By using genotyping, researchers at consumer DNA testing companies such as Ancestry DNA, African Ancestry, MyHeritage, and Living DNA are able to assemble a comprehensive report on a person's genetic makeup. The scientists then compare it with a larger set of DNA samples to discover that a person's family tree, ethnicity, geographic ancestry, and genetic health markers. Each firm's DNA data set is unique. However, in general, the larger of a company's data set of people from Africa or of African descent, the more specific it can be in pinpointing where your ancestors originated. Because the database of many companies are drawn from samples that are mostly European descent, this data could be the difference between Black folks finding out what they are broadly from West Africa or that they come from a particular modern day country and ancestral tribe. The type of DNA that a company chooses to analyze is another key factor in the results you'll receive. Y DNA test, literally the letter Y/DNA test, will trace paternal lineage but can only be taken by males since women don't possess the Y chromosome. mtDNA test track maternal lineage, and autosomal DNA test can trace both sides of your ancestry but won't go back as far as in time as the test for paternal and maternal lineage. The more specific you are about what exactly you want to find out, the easier it will be to narrow down the best company and type of test to use. Ronique Williams Gordon was born in Jamaica and now calls Toronto home. She wanted to include genetic health screenings when she had her DNA tested, so she chose to go with 23andMe. But she admits she might have gone with a different company if she solely wanted to learn about her ancestors' geographic heritage. I wanted to know which part of Africa I am from so that I could tell my children and have a sense of pride and purpose, she explains. But I also wanted the health part to see if there was information I needed to know. The details. If you're interested in DNA testing, be aware that it can come at a cost that is not clear. Many people have called on the Federal Trade Commission to complain about the privacy practices to consumer DNA testing establishments. Each company has clear guidelines on how it plans to use DNA after initial testing, and it's critical that you read and understand what you are agreeing to. Walker did read the fine print, but wondered if she should have weighed it more carefully when she read news stories of how police investigators were able to find the Golden State Killer in 2018 by matching an old crime scene DNA sample with the DNA of the killer's relatives that existed in public databases. Other people aren't really concerned about the privacy issues. To be honest, I don't care, says Williams Gordon. But Nika Smith, a family historian with Ancestry.com, advises that people take the extra step to research the company's privacy policies. People should be concerned, she says. We need to ask, where is my data going? Do I have control over it? The results. It's just the obscure restrictions that that customers needed. The results. It's not just the obscure restrictions that customers need to consider. It's the results themselves. That's because DNA testing can help you dig up the information you are researching for, that you are searching for, and the information you aren't. The uncovering of family secrets can follow in the wake of testing, for example, including the discovery of illegitimate children. According to Smith, Black people are also often surprised by how little African ancestry we have, as well as by how little Native American blood actually runs through our veins. None of us in the Americas is 100% African, notes Paige. So we're tracing just one branch of the tree. We don't know if that result is going to go back to Africa or if it's going to go back to Europe. Based on 16 years of research at African Ancestry, Page estimates that the average African American person is 75% African and 25% European, a breakdown that some of us can struggle with because it is direct scientific proof of the horrors of slavery. The history that is associated with the reason why our ancestry may have European roots is a painful one that many people aren't necessarily interested in exploring, said Page. But some DNA testing discoveries can open a new door to the past. Williams Gordon was happy to learn that she has 90% of African history, African ancestry, 40% of that from Nigeria. She plans to make Nigeria the first country she visits in the motherland. Her results points to the ultimate power of these tests for the people who take them. It lies in the knowledge of self and family that is gained, says Paige. You don't really understand the impact of not knowing until you know. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Ebony. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avery Lewis reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, trianglereadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. So long until next time.